Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
It's good to be here this morning. We may not be large in number, but I appreciate the spirit that's large. Just thank God for it. We heard a wonderful message Wednesday night. Brother Steve brought a wonderful, I still think we'll send it to the White House somehow, but just appreciate the Word of God. I've thought about it all week long, just the challenge for us to do exactly what the Father says. And that was a great reminder. I got to meet the new pastor at Pine Top. Everybody probably knows Pine Top's been without a pastor for 2 or 3 years now. And an humble man, very excited for them. He's a spirit-filled fellow. And the first thing he said to me was, he said, I know you. I said, well, I haven't met you, I don't think. And he said, no, he said, I've just been watching YouTube. And so thank you, David, that's going out. I mean, who knows who watches stuff, right? We never know. And so I just pray that somehow or another he gets exalted. Also learned that a couple of churches have pastors resigning, so pray for them. Lost Chapel, Mike Walker stepping down, and Arnold Whitehead's also stepping down from Edgewood. So pray for them that they are able to find a pastor soon, and just that God's will would be done. We preached last Sunday morning as we continue in our attempt to examine the Beatitudes. It became clear to me, well, he made it clear to me that I couldn't preach number 7, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, until we had preached clearly on what peace is and whether or not one has it or doesn't have it. And so last Sunday morning, we tried to spend some time from the book of Ephesians clearly looking at the peace of God. And I'm grateful that I have that peace. But this morning, I want to look at Matthew chapter number 5 again as we talk about this single. They're called Beatitudes. I simply think they're characteristics of godly people. But it's verse number 9. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 9. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 9 is all that we'll read. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you would open it to our hearts. It only becomes real when your spirit begins to minister it to us. And so we pray, make us what we're not. Teach us what we don't know. And Lord, in the book, show us ourselves and show us yourself. And may we be changed by this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we take the word peacemaker alone, we simply would seem or walk away today thinking that somehow we're supposed to be those that solve conflict in everyone else's life. And though that be part of what I believe Jesus was saying, it's certainly not all of what he was saying. And I think by the scripture's support today that we'll all see that. In opposition to troublemakers, a peacemaker is one who desires peace. Now, there's certain temperaments among us that just want to make peace because conflict is such a problem to them. But what he's speaking of directly is the fact that there is peace for every circumstance. When we live in disobedience, a lot of times we avoid peace because it doesn't satisfy our flesh or our need, our personal need for revenge or retaliation. And that simply is sinful. God said clearly to leave the vengeance to him. He's the only one, by the way, that knows how to do that kind of thing right. You and I simply work from a motivation that's based off our own pride, our selfish hurt. And so we often respond in ways that are sinful when we begin to retaliate or seek vengeance on our own. Here he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I want to start today with a verse from the New Testament, James chapter number 3. I've asked David to show that one for us, to put it up there, because I want it to be an anchor for you. The importance of understanding what peace is and my part within peace is something that I believe is extraordinary and something God wants us to know. I'm going to read it to you this morning. James chapter number 3. Is it up there yet? Yep. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." Does everybody remember that in the Beatitudes, that was one of the blessed are the pure, then peaceable. The second thing he would say concerning the wisdom that is from God is that it is peaceable. Gentle. I believe this refers specifically to blessed are the meek, and easy to be entreated. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Full of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When we think about what it means to be a peacemaker, you'll find in James in verse 18 here that it clearly said it has something to do with peace itself and the fruits of righteousness. As we think about those that are willing to sow the fruits of righteousness, and certainly we can, and I've already tried to bring in those other parts of the those things that Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are those that are humble in spirit. You see, all of those things are fruits of righteousness. They are things that ought to naturally occur within the Christian. To the person who's committed themselves because of a transforming power of conversion through the salvation of Christ, they have yielded themselves as those vines that produce the fruit of righteousness. If you're not producing fruit today, may I say that you may not be grafted in to the true vine. Because what Jesus said was that whosoever is a part of him, they will produce fruit. And fruits of righteousness are what is expected. Here he says in verse number 18, he said, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace." Making peace one of those foundational things. Peace, the very thing that drives us to the place where we can share with another soul those things that are perfect and pure and peaceable and merciful and full of righteousness. And all of these things are to be Christ-like as we share it with others. But to be a peacemaker today, we must first have the peace of God, and then, having the peace of God, allow the fruits of righteousness to be sown from our good works into the lives of someone else for the purpose of bringing peace to them. And therefore, he said, make peace. What a great truth to know that in obeying God and allowing the fruits of God to come through us as we sow it in peace to another human, to another person, to another a fellow Christian or even a lost person, as we give ourselves to sow in peace those fruits of righteousness, we will in fact make peace. What a wondrous thing that Jesus himself came to bring peace to you and I. And though And because he now dwells within us, we can also make peace for someone else. Peacemakers. Peacemakers. We might take the definition itself simply to be somebody that helps to solve problems in someone else's life or even in our own life. But I believe it has something that is far deeper than that when we recognize that when we sow in peace, then we can make peace. There's people today, I think, just look for trouble. Let me be clear. I'm glad we don't have a lot of troublemakers here. If we did, if you noticed them, deal with them, would you? Right? Because we don't need to be a troublemaker. We need to be a peacemaker. Now, I'm not suggesting we compromise or go along with anything that is wrong. You violate Scripture, then we're all accountable. But there are some that simply look to cause trouble. And if that's your spirit, you're working in the wrong grace. You're working in something today that is not a fruit of righteousness. Starting trouble or being the cause of trouble or desiring trouble, those are things I believe that the enemy uses as snares. They're things that corrupt one's own character, but it also corrupts a church if it's in there. And if we have that, you remember those on the Muppets, those two old men that sit up in the balcony and all they did was just humph and make complaints and cause trouble all the time. You know, I'm glad that there's not those people sitting here, at least that I'm aware of. They may be sitting beside you and you're saying, if you just knew. But I don't know of them. And I'm glad. I want you to know that I'm glad. Because I believe it speaks that there is peace in the hearts of people here. And that there is a desire to share that peace and to magnify that peace and to live in a way that the fruits of the Spirit of God work in us. And then that within itself, it allows us to minister peace into the lives of us. Let me say to you, friends, what lost people need is not more trouble. What lost people need is not more complaining and looking about and accusing and troublemaking. What they need is peace. And you have that. You have that. The fruits of righteousness, which was described and shared with us by James, those are the very things that Jesus was saying, that the people that are these things are blessed. They're blessed by God. They're fully satisfied in their own heart. May I say to you today that the people who are truly living for God and allowing the Spirit of God to rule in them, amen, it produces fruits of righteousness. And may I say to the Christian people that that alone brings peace to you. And if you have that peace, you can sow that peace, and therefore you can be an instrument making peace in the lives of someone else. I certainly was narrow-minded concerning this particular one. As I looked at it, I even made the mistake of saying, Lord, that's a short one. You may all regret I said that to him before we're ending today. But I want you to know today, this is a very important attitude. To understand and to recognize that my role in life is not necessarily, amen, to fix everybody's problems. That only he can do that, right? If I took that responsibility on myself, I might as well just lay down, right? Because I can't fix your problems. You're too messed up, by the way. I can't fix your problems. Amen. I can't fix my own problems. I have to go to God for that. Amen. I've got a problem fixer. He knows just what to do and how to do it. But I do want you to know that I want to share peace with you. Right? When you're in trouble, when you're having problems, when you have contention in your own life, even if it's not your fault or it is, I want you to know that there is peace among the family of God. There is something that I find when I come to the house of God that encourages my spirit, and it helps me to recognize that I don't have to live amidst the trouble. I can bring my trouble to Christ, and among the children of God, I find that there is peace. There is a peace according to the scripture that passeth all understanding. How many times are we bewildered by the things that go on? And mark my words, it'll get worse as we go on in time. These things will become more troublesome, and we will live truly in troublesome times as we approach the days. But may I say to you today that peace is there. It's always there. There's never a time that the peace of God cannot sustain you. Let me read for you some other scriptures to support. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 14, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, follow peace with all men. I believe that if that was our heart's desire, that there'd be a whole lot less confusion in this world. If we followed peace with all men. Then he said, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Right.
The importance, you see, the importance of peace, I believe, is paramount. As we think about the one thing the world desires more than anything, surely it's peace. I thought as the brother was preaching yesterday and a comment was made about how many suicides there are now. It's alarming. It's terrifying to think that so many people have no hope.
That's right.
Have no hope. But you see, I know where hope comes from.
That's right.
Saved by.
And if you'll ask me, I'll be glad to tell you about my hope.
Yes.
But let me say this about it. My hope produces peace. Because my hope is not in this world. What he said about that hope was, is if I had hope in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable. I can't think of any other circumstance or feeling that one might have who would truly contemplate suicide is other than misery, hopelessness. But in Christ, I find that there is not a hopelessness, but a hopefulness.
Yes.
A fullness of hope in my heart that truly brings peace. Do you have that peace today?
Praise.
That's what last week's message was about, is confirming whether or not you understood peace and then whether or not you had peace. But now knowing this truth, whether we do or don't have peace. The question is now is, are we living in that peace? Are we taking the fruits of righteousness that are evident and automatically created by being one of His? When we take the fruits of righteousness, are we sowing them in peace and therefore making peace in the lives of others? I believe we have a great responsibility, but a great power today. With Christ, we can make peace. You're not necessarily the problem solver. He is the problem solver. But oh, what a wondrous thing when He begins to make peace through you. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 18. Obviously, Scripture interprets Scripture, and I believe it's important to share these with you. So if you're a note taker and you're really concerned about peace today, mark this one. Romans chapter number 12, verse 18. He said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Enough said. Lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 33. Now I'm talking about peacemakers at this point. Peacemakers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, for God is not the author of confusion. Everybody remember that verse? Do you remember what it says next? I thought not. It caught me off guard too when I realized the importance of that truth. We often like to use this verse in First Corinthians 14:33. We want to say, for God is not the author of confusion, because we want to deal with confusion. But that wasn't the end of the verse. What he said was, is that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Peace. Let me see if I can help you with that. The opposite of confusion is peace. Are we not living in the most confused culture that has ever been? I've not been a part of every culture, but at least in my short lifespan, for the last 50-something years of my life, this must be the most confused human beings that I've ever heard about. We don't know if we're men or women.
That's right.
We don't know which bathroom to use.
Come on.
What happened?
They have lost.
We're confused. Terribly. May I say to you that God's not the author of that confusion?
No.
God's not the author of the confusing, mixed up wickedness that is going on in this world that we live in. As a matter of fact, I think it's truly a part of the judgment of God as he brings the reprobate condition upon so many wicked minds. But God is the author of peace. You may flippantly think this morning that this is a nice message. But when you find yourself destitute of peace, it'll be the one thing that you desire most to have. I wouldn't trade being able to lay my head on my pillow and close my eyes in peace. I wouldn't trade that with the richest of the world. Can you buy peace? But he did say, I could make it. Right? I hope you're getting the challenge by now. He did say that I can make peace. Now, you'll not make as God makes peace. You'll not make peace. But he gives us the ability through the fruits of righteousness. He taught us in James 3 there. Through the fruits of righteousness, we can sow with a heart of peace. We can sow this peace and therefore make more peace. Right? Going back to the law of the harvest, what you plant is what grows. And so using the fruits of righteousness, right? The seed in each of those fruits will bear more fruit. And when we sow that fruit in peace, we make more peace. Listen, we're living in a world that is destitute of peace today. In your workplace, in the school, in your homes, wherever you might be, the enemy is trying forevermore to steal the peace that people have. If he can steal the peace and that hopefulness that comes through Christ in the hearts of the unbeliever, surely he can bring them to a condition where they just don't want to live. Peace. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So that's peacemakers. And we are to be peacemakers. What Jesus said was, is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. But above and beyond what a peacemaker is, I think we need to be clear that we take away this morning, and this is the second and only other point about peace, is that we need to be peace sharers. We need to live in a way to where our lives exemplify peace. And then when we come into a situation or when we're invited into a conversation, there ought to be a measure of peace that comes with us everywhere that we go. That when we share, what we're sharing is something that is based in peace and not contention. We base something that is shared that is motivated by peace and love that comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us, and that what people experience is that we bring peace to the trouble. We bring peace, being a peace sharer. Let me read this from Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse 17. Now, what the scripture said about, this is speaking specifically about Jesus. Ephesians 2 is one of my favorite, by the way, speaking specifically of what Christ did to save you and I. But here he says in verse number 17, speaking of Jesus, and he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Speaking of the Jew and the Gentile. What did Jesus preach? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, he came preaching peace. Wait a minute. I thought that what they needed to do is repent. I thought surely what Jesus would preach was the condemnation of sin and the importance of a sinner to turn lest they perish by the judgment and wrath of God. Well, Jesus certainly preached repentance. But according to the Apostle Paul, he preached also peace. He preached peace. I wonder today how many of us recognize that the message we truly have is a message of peace. It's not a message of war. It's not a message of contention. It's not a message of division, though it divides. It's not a message of division. It's a message of peace. Jesus came preaching peace. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 15, in context, let me remind you, this particular passage of Scripture is in reference to the whole armor of God. When he says to stand, and when you've done all to stand, therefore he said, be covered, all of yourself be covered with the armor of God. But listen to what he said about the gospel in verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace. What he said was is that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I think the analogy there is that everywhere our feet take us, there should be a prepared message of peace to those that we meet. I'm not just a peacemaker. I'm a peace sharer. Each one of us that have the peace of God abiding within us. Listen, when this makes the biggest effect in your life is when you'll be the least able to rationalize in your mind why peace is the most important. It's when trouble comes, right? It's when you get hit in the gut by the enemy. It's when his snare catches you unaware and you fall victim to the lies of the devil. And when your mind begins racing, and when vengeance is the only thing that you can think of, and retaliation is what your flesh cries out for, that's when it will be hardest to see this truth. That's why some of you are nodding off right now. I warn you, you need this. You need this. Your feet need to be prepared with the gospel of peace. Because when you get nailed by the enemy, when you get caught off guard and you are upside down in a contentious issue, the one thing that will rescue you is the gospel of peace. The one thing that can mitigate the circumstance or the situation altogether is the gospel of peace. It's the very thing Jesus came preaching. He didn't come preaching retaliation, though he could have. He didn't come preaching his vengeance, though he could have. What he came preaching was the peace of God extended to mankind. My goodness. He had every right to judge me.
Absolutely.
And yet what we find on the hills of Judea, some poor shepherds were just out there minding their own business, that suddenly there was angels burst onto the scene crying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Goodwill toward men." Glory. You know why they were saying peace? It's because Jesus had been born. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. I won't be too transparent, but I will say this. There's been times I was the cause of the problem. Instead of preaching peace in a circumstance, instead of sharing peace, instead of being prepared with the gospel of peace, I simply responded in the flesh. And I can almost assure you, every time if you follow the flesh, it will follow its nature. And your nature is to retaliate. Your nature is to get back or to take vengeance or to defend your rights and for whatever right, wrong, or indifferent. What Jesus is teaching us is blessed are those that seek peace. Not only are we peacemakers, but we're peace sharers. Finally, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Verse number 11, he says, finally, brethren, farewell. As Paul finishes the letter to the Corinthians, he gives them this encouragement. Listen to what he says in this verse. He says, number one, be perfect. That startle anybody? Wait, did you think he expected less than that? Let's just be clear. The responsibility of God's people is not to be failures, not to be sinners. The expectation is for us to be perfect. Number two, be of good comfort. Now he's writing to the church. He said, be of good comfort. Number three, he said, be of one mind. Number four, and last one, he said, live in peace. I was reminded as I was trying to dig deeper into the whole concept of peace of what the Apostle Paul did often when he started a letter. His salutation to them was, peace be unto you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Remember that? Look at each one of the letters he wrote to the church. And the one thing that he said to them was, peace be to you. I'm told historically that the Jewish people, at least in the day of the Apostle Paul, that when they met one another and often when they departed from one another, that was the thing they would say is, peace unto you. Peace. The greatest hunger for a soul, I believe, is peace. And so for us, by the words of Jesus, to be called a peacemaker makes, I believe, this a huge responsibility. A peacemaker, a peace sharer, and the importance of peace in our lives. Well, you can have trouble any day of the week, right? Just get up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever you want to call it. And sometimes we just allow things that shouldn't happen, they happen. And we have to go back and we have to make amends. And we have to make peace. And that's an important part of life. It's just a process that we need to learn. But if we forget the value and the importance of being a peacemaker, we will excuse ourselves from the responsibility of being a peace sharer in the life, whatever circumstance it is that you live. All right. Like with all of the other Beatitudes, all of the others had promises tied directly to them. Two. Blessed are the peacemakers now, and blessed are the peacemakers forever. Every Beatitude had a promise tied to it, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, and here's what it says, for they shall be called the children of God. I want to start, obviously, with the now part, and I think it's self-evident, right? I think I've said it numerous times already. The benefit, the blessing, the full satisfaction today of being a peacemaker is peace itself, right? And if there's any question about it, just ask yourself, anytime you've ever been without peace, what you would have done to have had peace again. There is a great, great joy just in being at peace with God and with you. Matthew Henry said it like this. He said that when it comes to our conscience, we must be void of offense. But when it comes to peace, both with God and with our neighbor. Because if you have offense toward God or toward your neighbor, guess what departs from you? You see the ports of this? I fear some of you are going to say, go out and say, well, that was a nice one. This one will get you. Let me be clear. I don't want to live not one second of my life without peace. And I don't have to. I don't have to. But I have to mind the scripture. I have to understand what he's saying and know what is tied to this peace. If I am offense to God, if I am out of sorts with God, or if I am out of sorts with any of you, my peace will depart. And there ain't but one way to get that right. And that's to make it right with God and to make it right with you. No exceptions to that rule. Peace is fragile. It is a treasure that must be examined but also taken care of. Because you can wake up without peace if you went to bed angry. Right? He warns us of those things. All right. The value, the blessing of now having peace is self-evident. It's peace itself. But then there is the eternal blessing that is tied to all of the Beatitudes. There is this eternal blessing. And what he said was, future tense, he said, for they shall be called the children of God. Now let's see if we can tie that as we close this up. Wait, are we not the children of God now? Yes. Yes, you are. But I read a scripture this morning to you that spoke of us at this point when we get there being equal to angels. If you'll remember what I said in that was that there would be no more death. We would be equal to angels and we would be called the children of God. Now, all of those things were referring to a point in the future. Equal with angels, no more death, children of God. All of those things were making reference to the future. And here we find Jesus saying this in the future tense. Blessed are you eternally, forever fully satisfied, because you will be called the children of God. Not an angel. When you leave this world, you do not become an angel. Right? Shame on all those old songs that talked about mama getting to be an angel. When mama gets to heaven, she will be equal to an angel, but she will be something the angel is not. A child of God. Let me see if I can make this real simple. Come and get a song. Here's how simple this is. When I get to heaven, the most glorious thing.
Come on.
With that, I'll be able to say, Father. And he'll nod his head.
Yeah.
These are they who have washed their robes in the blood. the children of God will gather around his throne. And my, what a reward that will be. What a wondrous thing to know that we'll be a child of God. All right. I want to give an invitation today, and I'm going to do it just a little differently. Seemed like this whole message was a little different, but I hope we got it. But I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter number 57, just a few verses. And I want to read this as an invitation. Isaiah 57, verse number 19. Says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. Now you say, what relevance does this have? Well, when Jesus referred to peace, and when he referred to it coming to them that were afar off and to the near in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, he was referring to the Gentile and the Jew both being given peace. And Jesus used that scripture, he quoted that scripture to them. When he said to them that many of them serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near. Verse number 20. But he said, the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest. Think about peace now. The wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, and whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. See, the invitation is simple today. There is peace available to those that are without peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He offers peace. His gospel is peace. He's the author of peace. All of these things. But for you to have that peace, you'll have to accept Christ as your Savior. There's no other way. You cannot obtain this peace we speak of without you know Jesus Christ as your own. So I'll give you an invitation this morning as I remind you that there is no peace to the wicked. None. I'll invite you to come. As we stand and sing, if you're here this morning and need him, if you know you need him, come. Obey the Spirit of God and be saved.